This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It's getting chilly down here, you know, a little bit. We've had, some cold evenings, which, for us, it's like, 40 degrees, but it's just still such a change in pace that we're, always kind of caught off guard by it. But, things are good. It's kind of fun. I'm actually going to visit my in-laws in New Hampshire this week. And so we're going from not really cold to really, really cold overnight. So that should be a lot of fun. Can't wait to see what pipe smoking up there is like. So, things are going great. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing just okay. We just wrapped
that's
up a,
that's acceptable. You can bring that
exactly.
Just okayness to Country Squire Radio. We're a welcoming place for that just okayness.
Exactly, right? No. I've been looking forward to the show, man, because it's going to get me amped up. But no, we just finished up a recording retreat here at the house, which worked really, really well. I had all the recording equipment downstairs, which is good. Because as I do this right now, I'm actually recording in the bedroom at the moment because you know how I mentioned that I messed up my foot and I thought maybe I had sprained it or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it turns out I broke two bones in my foot.
What the heck? I didn't know that. That's crazy, man. How'd you manage that?
Climbing up the chair, fell down, and it was all a mess. But anyway,
you should have seen the other guy. Yeah,
seriously, actually, my wife, she fixed the chair. It looks just like a death trap now, but you can sit in it, and I have since then. I sat out of it, and I was like, you know what, I deserve this. It's like the Iron Throne, just with splinters.
You can fix the chair, but you can't fix you, Bo. You're a mess.
I'll tell you what, man. But anyway, so I got the problem was that I got a boot. To wear during this recording retreat because I was moving around equipment and then we had a live show at a separate location and the boots started giving me this confidence to start walking on it, and then I come home, I take off this thing and my foot is like blown up and purple and swollen and just in tons of pain. And anyway, I'm going back to the doctor tomorrow, so we'll see how we're doing. But it's
no kidding, man. Have you ever had a broken bone in your foot?
So I've had a toe fractured before. Actually, during Katrina, I fractured my big toe. When we were in the process, we were trying to get everybody. I was an RA at the time, and we were trying to get everybody kind of in the dorms. And of course, college kids are going to college kid, and so they were out playing ultimate frisbee in one of the largest arcades that we'd ever seen that inland in Mississippi. And
it's true.
In the process of getting everybody in, I fell and busted my foot or my toe, and it hurt like crazy, but I couldn't do anything about it because obviously, hurricane. And the next 2 days it kept on hurting so bad, and I took it in. It turns out I had fractured my big toe. But anyway, so this is a little bit worse than that, but we're trucking along. Hopefully I'll be ready to lunt, man. That's the thing that's been kind of keeping me down about this is, of course, we've got the lunt to remember that's coming up in March 28th. And
that's right.
I'm pretty sure you can recover from a broken foot in 2 months. I hope. I really hope. But one way or the other, I will be there. Even if I'm rolling around, man, I'll be there.
You can be the guy at the end of the lunt, because we'll be circling back around to the original starting place for our ending place. And so you can be that guy that's like there, with his foot propped up. You're holding a beer. You're smoking your pipe. And, you've got your foot, your cast propped up, making a really dramatic display. And you can be clocking people in on your stopwatch.
that obnoxious
dude that's like, if I were doing it, I would have done better.
I will say this though, at one point, I was kind of depressed, so I went outside and was enjoying my pipe while I put my foot up, but in the process, man, so I just opened up a large can of Frog on a Log that I had kind of stored away. After we got done with this recording retreat, we I was like, you know what, this is a good time to bust this out and
to crack it open.
Smoke with some friends and get the old corn cobs going around, and it was fun, it was nice. But I left it outside Which is not great. It was closed, but it wasn't sealed airtight or anything like that.
Yeah.
On top of that, I had two other jars, neither of them the John David approved Mason style. One of them is the rubberized pressure. The other one's more of just a twist on, you know, with the full cap. And I mean, again, they were closed, but this morning I actually went out there and I had totally forgotten about this. I walked out, looked down, and I saw, oh, snap. You know, and they've got moisture all built up inside the deal. Did I just completely destroy these blends, or do you think they're okay? Did I just humidify them in a really bad way?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely not ideal, but man, bring them inside, and you know, it's one of those things. If it is, you know, does have a lot of residual moisture, you're gonna want to open them up and let them kind of air out for a while.
Okay, maybe. Good to know. I'll probably do that now while we're recording.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good idea, but it, you know, at the same time, you'll need to just never ever do that again.
I mean, I feel like an idiot, and I mean, this was all of this is premium stuff. All of them are like Frogmorton. I got Frogmorton cellar, and then the last of another Frogmorton cellar that I was trying to kind of balance out.
Yeah,
and then I got, like I said, this new frog on a log that I like literally just popped open. I'm like, man, of all the tobaccos to do this to, like why with these?
Bring it in, let it dry out. If you need to, give us a report in a couple weeks and let's see where it's at.
Will do, man. Well, hey, we want to give a shout out to the good folks up in Grand Rapids. Cody DeWitt is putting on the fundraiser for Rob E., who's fighting stage 4 lymphoma. Of course, this event's going on February 20th. That's International Pipe Smoking Day. No matter where you are, you can participate. Now, the folks there in Grand Rapids are going to be having a poker tournament, which is going to be a lot of fun. But there's also a raffle that's a part of it as well. And so no matter where you are, you can buy a $50 make a $50 donation and get yourself some raffle tickets there while you're doing so. And it goes out to help out a prolific member of the pipe community. And we want to continue to keep him in our thoughts and our prayers as they go through this. And a big shout out to the folks in Grand Rapids that are wrapping themselves around him right now.
Man, that's right. And I actually, you know, we kept talking about all the prizes and stuff that they're raffling off. And they have made it actually now where you can just buy one raffle ticket per dollar. So, I mean, if you've got, you know, if you got $100, if you got $200, if you got $5, you can, you know, buy as many raffle tickets as you like. But they're raffling off some incredible stuff. They've got, you know, artisan pipes from, you know, DR France, Joe Hinkle, Morgan Pipes, Smith House Pipes, Red Dog Pipes. I mean, all these are going to be raffle items. Missouri Meerschaum has donated a rare Christmas set of pipes that they're doing, and they've got some custom silver work and some custom tamps and other accessories that are made by Lucky Pipes, Joe Hinkle, and several others. And so it's just a great, you know, opportunity. You'll have a good opportunity to win some cool pipe related stuff, but you know, also help a good friend that I got some clarification too. He actually has mantle cell lymphoma is the exact type of cancer that he's got. So, but man, just a incredible guy, tender-hearted spirit, and someone that we all are trying to support during the season. So, if you want to participate and you maybe buy some raffle tickets, regardless of where you live in the world, and hopefully win some cool stuff and support Rob E., you can do that by emailing codydewint@gmail.com. That's codydewint@gmail.com.
Well, there you go. And hey, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff going over at the shop right now. This is a pretty particularly eventful season, yeah?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Of course, we're, you know, celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, which has been, you know, something that we've been excited to build up to, and just released our, we've got some 50th anniversary polos that we're going to be selling by pre-order right now, and so those are looking cool. But so the big news, of course, A Lunt to Remember, in March 28th, that's Saturday, we're partnering with the International Lunting Society, got lunters coming literally from all over the country. And you know, if you haven't made a pipe pilgrimage to the Country Squire, this is the time, man. 50th anniversary, and we're really stoked about it. Be raising money for the Alzheimer's Foundation and doing an awesome lunt through LaFleur's Bluff State Park with the after party, including food and live music and strong drink here at the Country Squire. So it's going to be a blast. Again, that's March 28th, and you can find out more at lunting.org. And we ask that you please sign up to give us an idea of you know, how many people are coming. The event is free. You do have to pay for parking at the park. The event is free, but all the money we raise from t-shirt sales and raffle tickets and things of that nature are going to go to benefit the Alzheimer's Foundation. So really excited about that. Bo, you're coming in town. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, and also, guys, was able to peg this down, but you know, we had mentioned before that Missouri Meerschaum and Lane and Peter Stokeby, Scandinavian Tobacco Group, will both be in attendance, man, giving away some cool stuff and with some awesome booths. But just able to confirm now that Briarworks International, our own American, Briar pipe maker out of Nashville or Columbia, Tennessee, they will be there and, you know, have a nice spread of pipes as well. So, man, come on down. We're looking forward to having you.
All right, man. Sounds good. Yeah, it's gonna be a blast. We're gonna be doing some recordings there, probably Squire Select tasting of some sort. It's gonna be a blast.
Yes. And one other thing, of course, I have to mention. Next month, February 28th, we have a February 28th event and a March 28th event. But February 28th, none other than Eric Nording is coming to the Country Squire, and we'll be selling pipes and his own line of cigars that he makes. He's partnered with Rocky Patel through that, and so. Man, just the legend himself, Eric Nording at the Country Squire. And if you're around, we would love to have you that day. Man, buy a pipe from the man himself and get the sock signed or the pipe signed. And it'd be wonderful to have you. We're really honored that that Eric's making the trip to Jackson.
That's a big one, man. That's the man, the myth, the legend.
I know it.
Well, good deal. Well, hey, of course, the reason why we are able to join you every single week is by the support of our patrons and our club members as well. And man, we've got some new club members joining this week. And you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and rattle them off right here. Both of these guys are joining at the Squire level. And if I'm not mistaken, Auto Check actually worked against me because I know for a fact the second one is incorrect, but I kind of want to read the spell check, even though it's totally wrong, but don't worry, brother. We'll fix it. Anyway, first one, Adam Spidell.
Spittle. Yeah. Spidell. Yeah.
Spittle sounds like you're like,
I bet it's, you know, Spidell. I bet it's Spidell.
All right. Spidell. that has like a Mississippi ring to it. Don't you think, Spidell?
Yeah,
isn't there a Spidell, like, Mississippi?
That's someone you'd meet in, like, you know, Lincoln County. Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah,
you got that. All right, but you got Adam, and then we also have, and this is where I apologize. It's spell checked to Ross Coward, and Ross's last name is definitely not Coward. So that's on me, Ross. But one way or the other, we'll make sure that that your name is accurate for the club cards. And thank y'all so much, brothers, for joining the International Pipe Club and supporting us. And if you'd like to as well, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where you too can to help make the show happen every single week without fail. Now, this week, man, we have got a very, very interesting topic, one that is crucial to the structure, the very chemical structure, the carbon the fibers, the DNA of pipe tobacco. And as I understand it, man, so we're going to be learning a little bit about vitamin N, huh?
Vitamin N. We were talking about nicotine today.
Man.
I know. I said that with a smile on my face, and I really do mean it. people, when they think of pipe smoking, they don't necessarily associate it with nicotine the way we've kind of been taught, to associate it with, cigarettes and chewing tobacco and things of that nature, things that are a little more direct or more, where folks are inhaling more and things of that nature. But nicotine is a natural product that is in pipe tobacco. And so we just wanted to talk about that and the effect it can have on you and, some different tobaccos that you may want to try if you're avoidant of that or maybe searching for that. So we're revisiting vitamin N today. Right. Nicotine, it is more associated with things like cigarettes and, of course, here in the Deep South, dipping tobacco, things like Copenhagen and Skoal, those are really popular. And folks there... you know, are they use those products as kind of nicotine delivery systems, right? Which you know, you see that as a more common you know, system of delivery for nicotine, the chemical that is in tobacco. But you know, nicotine, they are, even though it's more associated with those products, it is you know, present in pipe tobacco. It's a natural chemical. There is no such thing as a nicotine free tobacco product. And so, you know, we thought we'd just kind of unpack that a little bit and kind of talk about what that is and you know, all that. So, you know, it is about the average bowl size, right, is anywhere between, you know, 2 to 4 grams of tobacco, you know, somewhere in there, just depending on your pipe.
Interesting. And I never even thought about the concept of an average bowl size, but
well, you know, we always do like the kind of the gold standard for these slow smoke competitions is like 3 grams. You know, some people, you know, do 4 grams or whatever, but it's, you know, around that size, right?
And so that, okay, yeah,
you know, if you're smoking your Davrin Dinovic, you know, golf club Morta, you know, pipe, then
right.
You're gonna, you know, you're gonna triple that. Maybe you've seen these elaborate pipes that can hold 1.5 ounces of tobacco. That's on you. Right, you know, right. I've never enjoyed those personally, but yeah, you know, it's somewhere around that kind of 3 gram area. And so, you know, that much tobacco in there may have anywhere from 25 grams of nicotine to, you know, 100 grams of nicotine, just anywhere kind of in between. They're kind of, you know, just diversified depending on the leaf, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But, what is nicotine? It is a naturally occurring stimulant in some plants. And so it is most associated with tobacco. You know, we think about, you know, various tobaccos that are used for cigarettes, pipes, cigars. But there are also trace amounts of nicotine in some things that you wouldn't expect. Things like potatoes, eggplants, tomatoes actually have small amounts of nicotine in some varieties, which is kind of fascinating. Now, you know, the amount of nicotine in those products is much, much, much less than what you would find in a, you know, a tobacco plant. But, you know, at the same time, it is occasionally present in some of those things. So, so keep that in mind next time you're really craving a, you know, your own homegrown tomato.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Never even knew that.
Yeah, I mean, who knew, you know? yeah, so is nicotine bad for you? Well, the answer is kind of. you know, it can be, you know, negative for you in some ways. But the main reason that it is viewed negatively is because that it's associated with the smoke that it's tied to. So, you know, there is, you know, very little evidence that nicotine in itself causes cancer or is associated with, you know, any type of, you know, oral disease or things like that. But the reason that nicotine gets the bad rap is because it's so associated with the smoke that you're experiencing it with. And so think of it, which is in some ways fair and in some ways not fair. But, you know, how are you going to get nicotine into your body? Well, generally, you're going to smoke it. And so smoking, you know, has some negative effects if you're inhaling the smoke and things of that nature. And so is it the nicotine? Well, no, but, you know, how are you getting the nicotine? That's kind of the point. So it'd be similar, Bo, to as if, you know, coffee and caffeine had the same relationship, right? So caffeine would get a much worse rap if coffee were really, really, really bad for you. Does that make sense?
So like that's the vehicle is more the problem than the thing that's contained.
Yeah. I would. Yeah. I guess that's a way, or maybe something. You know, maybe it's not the vehicle. Maybe it's the an associated thing. Yeah. But it really is the vehicle, I guess, is the right way to put it. But but you know, yeah. If coffee were terrible for you, and coffee is you know, how you got caffeine, then that, you know, it would be much, you know, you'd get much of a worse rap. And you know, which is understandable. There are some benefits to nicotine usage, which, you know, it can help with things like major depressive disorder. There's some research that it helps with Alzheimer's patients. And it actually, there's some kind of emerging research that talks about its use in decreased risk of Parkinson's disease, which is fascinating. So, you know, so it's a mixed bag in itself, but because it's associated with the smoke that, you know, is delivering the product, then a lot of times those things are tied together. And also, you know, because nowadays we've talked about this, you know, a lot on Country Squire Radio, but, you know, because it's hard for special interest to paint with tiny brush strokes, we have to paint with broad brush strokes, you know, nowadays, you know, it's hard for us to have nuanced conversations about this. And so, you know, that's why if you go on, you know, any website, a lot of times they're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater because it's just an easier soundbite. It's something that's more, you know, fittable into that, you know, 140 Twitter character or whatever it is. So, so you know, certainly, you know, is the smoke itself good for you? Well, no, it has a lot of different effects. But, you know, is the nicotine good for you? Well, not really. I mean, it can be. I mean, we did talk about some benefits, but you know, it's a different conversation than the smoke, but yet it kind of gets all rolled into one. Does that make sense on some level? I know it's can't see the forest for the trees, you know?
I think I'm following you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, again, you know, there are some benefits to nicotine, but for some folks, you know, it can have the side effect of making them a little queasy. So, Bo, you've smoked. I didn't intend on picking on you on this, but I know that there was an instance at one point where you smoked a cigar and kind of got sick from it, right?
I mean, not sick from it. I mean, I did. It did. It
that
did.
Time you went and yacked in the bushes, that wasn't sick?
No, that is not what happened. It did sat me down, though. That is true. It sat me down.
Yeah. And we can get that from time to time, you know, if a really, you know, if you've got a cigar that you're smoking that, you know, has a real kind of lingering smoke that, you know, sitting around you, maybe it's got a...
actually, right now I can feel it in my gut. Like, you know, like that...
yeah.
Like a memory, like brings forth like, you know, like a smell or a sound or something of that nature. And then you have like this other reaction. So I'm thinking back to that day or that evening. And like, oh man, I do remember I had this like feeling in my gut. And I mean, like, I don't know that it was in relation to that particular cigar or what, but I just remember it was all kind of like, hey, I don't need to go home right now. I need to just kind of little feel this for a minute.
I need to sit down and need some water. And are you going to McDonald's? Can you get me something? Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I know the feeling. Some folks that, you know, that nicotine, it can make kind of queasy, right? I mean, and you know, in high doses, it can also be poisoning. You know, that there's a reason why when you go to, let's say, the Perique factory down in Convent, Louisiana, you know, those guys that are those huge, you know, refrigerator big guys, you know, that you think could handle anything. Well, what they can't handle is, you know, too much nicotine, which is a byproduct of these leaves. And so that's why when they're toting these Perique leaves around, you see them wearing these huge gloves, you know, while they're, you know, to protect themselves from those that oily syrup that contains that stuff, because if they get too much, they will get sick by it. And so, you know, it can create, you know, if you have too much dizziness, nausea, some people are more sensitive to it than others. And so, you know, it's one of those things where some folks have a high tolerance to it. Maybe you, you know, smoke your pipe more often, or maybe, you know, just a natural tolerance to it. But, you know, some folks are more sensitive than others. And there are some tricks to handling this. Sitting down, obviously, as soon as you feel the effects of it, you want to, you know, put your pipe to the side. But what a lot of folks do is they drink water and eat sugar. Now, the sugar thing is kind of a well-known, you know, deal within premium tobacco. Cigar folks and pipe folks kind of know this as a you know, a remedy that has happened for a long time. If you'll just eat a certain amount, you know, a small amount of sugar, even drink a you know, drink a Coke or something. You know, some people keep actually sugar cubes around, some candy, you know, a few pieces of M&Ms or something. A lot of times that can actually help with you know, the queasiness that kind of comes from eating a nicotine sickness or whatever. Folks disagree about what this is, but the nicotine can affect blood sugar level and affects the liver. And so, people go back and forth on why the sugar is successful in that. But the truth of the matter is, it's kind of there probably hasn't been a university study on it, but so much anecdotal evidence to say that a little bit of sugar can help folks that have had a little too much nicotine. And so so keep that in mind. If you got a few Oreos handy or something like that, if you've kind of had too much, sit down, drink some water, eat a Chips Ahoy, you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, make sure you do it around people that are not going to hold it over your head for the next 7 years.
Right, I know, right? Yeah. Even if you move away. Yeah. And so, just some thoughts there. Some folks are more sensitive than others. With pipe smoking, we do have to step back again and say, well, the pipe, you are getting less of the nicotine than you are with other forms of tobacco. Number one, with cigarettes, you're directly inhaling it into your body. With dip and chewing tobacco, the point of it is to have it right there next to your gums, kind of absorbing through the lining, of your gums or your cheeks. And so, with pipe smoking, you're puffing the tobacco in and out. That you're going to have, effect through the lining of your mouth. We've talked about that with our friend Luis that came on, almost a year ago to talk about our dentist friend that came on and had a great conversation about that. But so you're going to get some of that, but the effect is much less, but it can be there. And so if you are one of those people that even in the lower amount it affects, these are just some things to help you out. Some folks, again, are more sensitive, and so a guide to kind of help you with this is just keep in mind what tobaccos are more high content with nicotine. And so nicotine on the high end, you've got tobaccos like Burley's and any kind of fire-cured tobaccos, and then Perique. And so it's funny because a lot of times Burley's are the least flavorful tobaccos, right? You think of Burley as being tobacco that just has, not a lot of character nuance to it. I love Burley. I use Burley a lot in blending, but, it's one of those tobaccos that doesn't have a whole ton of flavor to it, and yet it is high in nicotine. On the low end of the spectrum, on the lower end of nicotine content, you've got things like Virginia's, Oriental and Turkish tobaccos, Latakia, which is also interesting because these are the tobaccos that tend to be a little more flavorful, a little more on the flavor side. I guess the anomaly here would be Perique, which I think is incredibly flavored, but also has a high nicotine content. So, typically these tobaccos, they have, there's kind of an inverse relationship between nicotine and natural sugar content. And so if you have a tobacco that has more natural sugar in the tobacco, something like a Virginia tobacco, like an Oriental tobacco, then those tobaccos are going to have a lower nicotine content for whatever reason. And so
now you said natural. I want to clarify this. You said natural. So the idea here is if you have like a tobacco that's heavily cased, that doesn't necessarily affect the
correct
nicotine content. Okay, gotcha.
That's correct. Yeah, good point. Because you've got some highly cased tobaccos that aromatics or whatever that have been highly processed and yet right. still are very high in nicotine. And so that is something to think about. And then on the other end of the spectrum, the high end tobaccos that have more nicotine content, the Burley's, the Perique, the fire cured tobaccos where the leaves are actually coming in contact with the smoke particles and stuff like that. Those tend to have lower sugar content, and so there's just that correlation there, which is kind of fascinating. And we've got different sides of the spectrum. Folks, they think about Okay, it's very similar to coffee and caffeine, right? Well, a dark roast has a lot more flavor, perhaps, but it has less caffeine. A breakfast blend or a lighter roast is going to, you know, be a little milder, a little lighter on the flavor, but it's actually going to have more caffeine. And so, you know, we've got a similar concept here as it relates to tobacco and nicotine content. So, yeah, just kind of interesting, you know. Lots of blends out there that, you know, folks can try, you know, in each one of these. Some people like a little bit of nicotine because it kind of helps them focus or gets their heart thumping a little bit. You know, it is highly addictive, but because pipe smokers don't inhale, you're not getting the levels of it that are going to, you know, really force you to be addictive to it the way that, you know, maybe a cigarette smoker or someone that uses chewing tobacco or something like that. It's just a different beast altogether. Tobaccos out there that have, you know, high nicotine contents, things that you may want to sample, you know, if you're interested in that. Bayou Morning from Cornell & Deal. Cornell & Deal, you know, Jeremy, they use a lot of burley in their blends. And, you know, he's a believer in you know, really premium burleys, as am I. And so a lot of their tobaccos are going to have, you know, a good bit of burley in it. Look for so many of them. But Bayou Morning, Haunted Bookshop from GLP's, great tobacco. It's got some other leaves in there as well, but you know, really you know, strong tobacco. And then Irish Flake from Peterson. Irish Flake is interesting. It's got some fire cured tobacco in there, and man, just can really pack quite a punch. And so you know, one of those tobaccos, Royal Yacht, which is now a Peterson tobacco, was a Dunhill brand, but you know, also excellent tobacco for strong nicotine content. And you know, if you're wanting something that is going to be on the other end of the spectrum, let's say you're man, I don't know, I just don't really want to fool with that, or maybe I'm kind of you know, my stomach's kind of sensitive to some of that, you can shy away from nicotine by smoking Virginias and English style blends. So you know, which are primarily Virginias and Latakia. And so those blends are going to have, you know, lower nicotine content. It's interesting because, you know, Latakia is in itself a fire cured leaf, but which we tend to associate with stronger, more nicotine laden tobaccos. But the Latakia, it has in its own properties, even before processing, it's just a very low nicotine content leaf. And so it's one of the anomalies, the outliers there.
the exception that proves the rule, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that mug that is, you know, talking about all the instances that, you know, I before E, except after C, except in all these different cases, you know?
Right.
I really need to own that. But yeah, there again, it goes to the fascinating, you know, reality that Latakia is one of the most flavorful, you know, tobaccos that are out there, and, you know, the most pungent and all this kind of stuff. But yet it is one of the lowest nicotine content tobaccos that are on the market. And so, you know, if you can stomach the smell and like the taste, then Latakia might be a good fit for you. So Virginias are great too, but you want to watch out for Virginias that might have a Perique marriage there. You know, Virginia Periques are very popular, incredibly common. Those two marry so well together that, you know, a Virginia tobacco paired with, you know, that you know, spicy Perique might kind of upset the apple cart a little bit. So so keep that in mind. But in general, most Virginias are going to be low nicotine content. Yeah. So so there you go. Vitamin N.
All right, man. I mean, that's a great overview. And, you know, with kind of the addictive nature of it, it's always a good kind of a good excuse and good reminder. Just like, you know, as with everything, moderation is key, right? Like, never become a slave to anything. And
yeah,
it's something
right.
that we thoroughly believe and encourage. You know, we have done several different episodes. I think, or at least we've done a few different episodes for sure on kind of like separating the stigma. And you know, you talked about the difference in smoking a pipe versus, say, smoking a cigarette. And, you know, the reality is, man, even in the pipe community, there's very strong feelings on a lot of different angles on that.
Yeah.
Sure. And I mean, like, you know, I've had very, you know, strong disagreements with people I love and respect on, you know, whether or not, for example, like, we should lock arms with the cigarette folks. And I believe wholeheartedly we should not. I think that the The future of premium tobacco is really kind of being premium tobacco and not kind of being part of, the alternatives. Now, that being said, I know we got a lot of listeners that also still smoke cigarettes, and
yeah,
you know,
sure.
You got to do what you got to do. But I really, one of the reasons I encourage actually cigarette smokers to smoke a pipe is because it is such a better alternative. And so anyway, always good excuse to kind of do that. And man, no, it's nice getting a little inside the kitchen, man, a little inside the science lab too. Well, you know, one thing we know you absolutely will enjoy.
Is a Missouri Meerschaum pipe.
It's a good pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, man. Like I said, I had some folks here just a day or so ago when we were wrapping up recording. And, the great thing is it was a great excuse to kind of get together, celebrate the fact that we had gotten like, 8 hours, or no, like 12 hours of audio in the can.
Yeah.
And before everybody's kind of going away, it's like, hey, let's bust out the pipes. And the great thing is I always have a good, like a bouquet. Can you say that? Like a bouquet of Missouri Meerschaum pipes on hand.
You know, it's funny. I don't think that's the like official way to describe a group of pipes, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. I mean, like, that's the great thing. You get
a bouquet of pipes. Yeah.
And I'm actually getting to the point where I actually need to kind of replenish too, because I've got this, I'm not going to call it a bad habit at all, because I think it's a good thing to do, but I've got this habit of giving away pipes, especially Missouri Meerschaum pipes for, folks that come over and maybe they never smoked a pipe before, or maybe they just didn't bring theirs. And, and so they can either borrow one or, if they enjoy it, I'm like, hey, if you want to, go ahead and take it, man. It's a great pipe. Enjoy it.
That is right.
So yeah, man, always love having a good number of Missouri Meerschaum pipes on hand. What Missouri Meerschaum we got representing this episode, man?
Man, today we've been walking through some of the different Cobbett series pipes, and today we're going to talk about the Elf. The Elf is one of the two of the larger on the end pipes. It's a longer pipe, has a larger size bowl, which is almost a Dublin shape. It's got kind of a nice taper to the bowl cylinder there, and just that genuine hardwood plug in the bottom, a nice nickel band, and one of their most high quality stems on this particular pipe. So the Elf, you can get it straight from Missouri Meerschaum at corncobpipe.com or at your favorite tobacconist that's worth its salt. And man, we highly encourage you to check it out. It's going to be one of the Cobbett series pipes that has a more generous bowl, but also has a nice length to cool that smoke down. So check it out. And if you got one, take a photo of you smoking it and tweet it to us. We'd love to retweet that back out.
Absolutely.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week. This one's coming in from, listener Donovan T. Embry, which, wow, Donovan T. Embry. That sounds like some sort of like a playboy, like a philanthropist, eco-scientist adventurer from some novel or something like that. Donovan T. Embry. You must find Donovan T. Embry. He's off in the jungles studying the mating habits of the lozenge mosquito.
Wearing an ascot and a monocle, smoking
exactly,
his pipe. Right?
Exactly.
Donovan T. Embry. Man, Donovan, whether you appreciate that or not, we are so thankful for your question.
Well, actually, you know what? It's kind of appropriate because his question's all about hunting, although in this instance, hunting a mythological creature in and of itself that only Donovan T. Embry can find. And so we must help Donovan with his search here. Here's what Donovan has to say. He says, hey guys, I was listening to the Hawkbill episode and heard your answer to the pipe question on blends. The answer you gave prompted a question I had about blends, or to be more specific, a unicorn blend that I'm looking for. So for a long time, I've been a cigarette smoker and I prefer the Turkish Royal, the Camel Turkish Royal, because it is a Turkish tobacco, but still sweet and gives off a relatively pleasant aroma despite being a cigarette. That preference transfers over well to Balkan blends, English blends, and Scottish blends, but I have noticed that most blends are typically Latakia heavy, and I'm not a huge fan of that. I also don't prefer the musky flavor of Perique. So, here is my question. Is there a blend out there, and this is the unicorn, John David, is there a blend out there that has the Turkish twang, Oriental incense, Virginia sweetness, and a touch of smoky Latakia, with Latakia being something that is much more subtle than the regular lap bombs that you find? Do I need to try to find my unicorn by blending it myself? Any suggestions would be appreciated. And again, this is Donovan T. Embry. I think I changed his accent there at the end.
Donovan is a man of many accents, and you know that for a fact.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's Donovan T. Embry. Who knows what the T stands for? It probably stands for...
Terrific.
Donovan Terrific.
Man, Donovan, thanks for putting up with my dear brother Bo and his love of your name. Great question. You know, we occasionally have to lament the fact that some tobaccos have exited the market over the years, and of course we're no stranger to McClelland. McClelland used to have an entire series of. I think they called it their Grand Oriental series, which was so good. It really was so good. They had several tobaccos that I always referred to as a Scottish style mixture, with the Virginias and the Orientals up front, and then the Latakia way in the background. And number eight of their series was one of my favorite tobaccos. Frankly, I really loved it. And number 14 as well was also really good. But we made at the Country Squire, we actually made a house tobacco called Bag End, which features a few different Oriental leaves and then Brightleaf Virginia. It does have Latakia in it, but it's way in the background. It's one of these tobaccos that I kind of blended for myself because I tend to smoke more Virginias, and if Latakia is present, I like it to be more nuanced and subtle. And so you may check out Bag End. Another tobacco that came to mind, I have not smoked this one in years, but I did a little research just to make sure that I was remembering this correctly, but accountant's mixture from Rattray's. It may be kind of hard to get, and of course it's called accountant's mixture, so boy, that's interesting. You got to get that. but it's got that kind of higher content Virginias, Orientals, and the Latakia is certainly there, but it's not as overpowering. The problem nowadays is that these blends are just incredibly, if it's a Latakia blend, it's a bomb. You know, that's kind of the idea now. People want these, over the top kind of flavor profiles. And so, it's hard to get around that. But you mentioned in your question, you said, do I need to try to find my unicorn by blending it myself? And I would go for it. I read your question, I mean, like I saw your question, I was like, dude, that man, just that's the answer right there. I mean, we'd love to for you to try our tobaccos, and of course, the Rattray's blends are fantastic. But if you go to one of your favorite tobacco retailers and get some blending leaf, man, just start experimenting with it. Maybe do a variety. You could do some bright leaf, more matured leaf, cut it with some healthy dose of blended Turkish ribbon, Izmir, Samsun, if you can get your hands on it, maybe throw in a dash of Latakia there at the end just to make it interesting. I think you should go for it, man. Wouldn't be terribly expensive or take a whole lot of effort, and I think before you know it, you'll be hooked on kind of the whole idea of making your own tobaccos. So as the blender, that option C, that's the way to go.
All right, man. No, that's good. And this just in, waiting reports of Donovan T. Embry, constantly in search of his famed unicorn. Will he ever find it? Stay tuned. Seriously, though, Donovan, let us know if what you end up deciding. We would love to carry on the chronicles of Donovan T. Embry and the hunt for the fabled unicorn. All right, man. If anybody else has a pipe question for us, be sure to send that in, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question.
Ow!
All right, man. We are carrying on with Pastor Yoda's Pastor Yoda's quick fire questions with the theme of travel, or specifically time travel.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, man. Here we go. Hitch a ride with Christopher Columbus or on the Mayflower?
This one's tough. All right, I'm going to go with Christopher Columbus, but at the same time, I would try to be a better influence on him.
Right, right.
But then you also got to think, like, okay, the Mayflower, these were Puritans, right? And so,
it would not be a fun trip.
Well, I don't know. I see negatives in both. I see positives, I think, in both. I don't know. Okay, I'm changing my answer. I'm going to go with the Mayflower. Next question.
Really? Okay. All right. Wow. I mean, so here's my question. What was the life expectancy on both trips? Because I know the Mayflower, didn't they lose like 80% of the people that left?
Dude, I'm not sure off the top of my head, but like that was one of the first things that came to my mind was like, which one of these am I least likely to get scurvy from?
Exactly. I could be wrong, but I think the death count was higher on the Mayflower. So I guess I'm going with Christopher Columbus. And yes, okay. With the caveat of trying to be a better influence. Good call on that. All right. Next up, having a pipe with C.S. Lewis or a cigar with Spurgeon?
I'm going to have to go with Lewis as a good Anglican. I don't know. I love Charles Spurgeon, man. Prince of Preachers, wonderful 19th century hero. I mean, just a outstanding figure that I have a lot of respect for. But I don't know. A pipe with C.S. Lewis, I got to go that route.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can glean so much knowledge from both these individuals, absolutely. But as somebody who's just a fan of story structure and narrative and world building and you know, man, to pick the brain of C.S. Lewis over a pipe, I mean, you just can't pass that up. So absolutely, yep. C.S. Lewis, same as me. And then finally, the past or the future, which is very broad, because that could be 5 minutes ago or 5 minutes from now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's interesting. Okay, so which one would I rather time travel to, the past or the future? Man, I'm going to go with the past. I don't know. Let's leave the future kind of unknown and go back and learn more about what we already know. I guess that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Interesting. So as a fan of time travel, it seems like going to the future, both of these situations always cause problems because you go to the past and you end up inadvertently destroying your present, right? Because you make changes to the past by the nature of you being there.
See, I'm not thinking about these things. You're right.
Whereas going to the future, I feel like you always go to the future and find out it's the apocalypse. But the benefit of that is that you come back and you theoretically are able to thwart the apocalypse or at least postpone it, depending on your franchise worthiness. You might go off there and throw off the apocalypse, but then they want a sequel. So, the apocalypse is still coming. And so you have to go back to the future. Anyway, I'm going to go with future for that reason, because past is just a little bit too, I'm as a fan of, I've been very blessed in my family and my kids and everything else. And I've always been of the mindset that given the opportunity, I would probably choose to go back to the past and make some changes up until the day I had kids. Because of all the things in my life that I feel like I could either improve or keep the same, the one thing that just requires too much chance is, your kids. There's just a lot of, rolling the dice on the day and the time and, who wants to swim fastest? You know what I mean? So just being real. So I mean, like from that standpoint, I would never want to jeopardize the existence of my children. So, I'd go with future.
Okay, fair.
All right. Well, there you go. Pastor Joda, great questions. Absolutely enjoyed the time travel edition. And hey, if you've got some quick fire questions, feel free to send those in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man. iTunes review coming in from Old Man Skinner. He says, this year I came back to the pipe after a hiatus of more than 30 years. I came across this pipe and am hooked. John David and Bo are extremely entertaining, and I can't wait for the next episode. I'm so hooked on the Country Squire that the Country Squire shop has become my go-to store, even though I'm out in Alaska. As a Squire member, I am getting through the back episodes as quickly as possible. Oh, God bless, brother. Keep up the good work. You two really do make a great team. And again, that is coming from Old Man Skinner.
Dude, thank you so much, man. I'm so, we love getting those orders. And every time we send one to Alaska, I'm like, oh, that's my boy.
That's awesome, man.
That's wonderful, man. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, actually, it would be really cool. I mean, I know that you've got up on the board in the shop, places from all around the world that people have purchased, right?
Well, we used to. It's funny. It's kind of
gotten so... Didn't make the move?
Well, it didn't make the move. And, you know, we had those dots we would put up every time we would send a mail order out. But now, I mean, it's so many, you know, hundreds of orders a week. We just couldn't keep up with it. So, yeah, but we, you know, it's like we put a red dot up every time we'd send a mail order out. And now it's like the whole country would be red and, you know, major parts of Europe. So,
anyway, you know, I wonder if our club members, where everybody's like, if we've got somebody from every state, because we're getting close to 200 members here. Probably we'll probably hit that within the next few months. I'd be curious to know if we got every state covered. I know we got some folks out of the country. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll have to check that out. Next one's coming in, man. This one is from Joe Marty. What did Joe have to say?
Yeah, Joe says, there's plenty to complain about, and I keep pace pretty well in that regard. As an avid podcast consumer, I tend to gravitate more towards politics. Thus, I'm often in an agitated state. Sometimes it's nice to break away and be a consumer of a more amiable pursuit that puts my mind at ease. To that end, and I may be the last to know, I recently discovered the Country Squire Radio podcast. The good news about being a latecomer is that I have years of catching up to do, and that's what I've been doing. We pipe smokers often find ourselves without the benefit of like-minded companions in this activity, and thus lose both the camaraderie as well as the information sharing. No podcast could replace the live interaction, but the information I'm gaining about history, types of tobaccos, techniques, and general knowledge related to pipes and tobacco is highly engaging. John David Cole and Bo York are knowledgeable, engaging, humble, and always entertaining, and I'm thankful for the podcast for its own sake, but also for providing me from a respite from the real world I get sucked into. Joe, thanks, man. We're glad you're one of those highly charged people that can get wrapped up in all the goings-on of today's and of today, and we're thankful to be that one respite for you in the podcast world. So
absolutely, man. That's what it you know, podcasts really do open up the opportunity to really kind of find like these very heavily niche topics that that speak to us and kind of connect and relax over some common enjoyments, be it pipe tobacco or television shows, whatever you might be into. So absolutely glad to have you, Joe. Thanks so much for that. All right, well, good deal, man. Listener feedback, we always appreciate getting those in. Of course, if you've got some for us, we love those iTunes reviews. You can head over to iTunes and write us a review there. You can also email the show@countrysquireradio.com. Just keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_countrysquire.
And, of course, the show's handle is @SquireRadio, but all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right. Well, good deal, man. This has been like a very informative episode. I feel like took us to school a little bit. And not in a bad way. I don't mean that.
I'm going to take you to school. No, man, it's good to know a lot of folks, they seek stronger pipe tobaccos or more, mild pipe tobaccos, but they don't often really know what makes a tobacco stronger or milder, and in some cases that is that delicious vitamin N. And so we gave you some tips on how to deal with it, what it is, and what tobaccos might have more and less, so you can try some different stuff out. So hope you enjoy.
Absolutely, man. All right, well, good deal. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.